Kissed Before, Chandler Murphy Family Series. Written by Amber Shelley. Narrated by Alexa Elmy. Chapter 1, Charleston, South Carolina, February 10th, 1994. The early morning light filtered through the draperies, revealing two bodies moving together amid the tangled sheets of the four-poster bed. The softly murmured words and throaty moans attested to the enjoyment each got from this pleasant interlude. The woman's long, slender legs wrapped about the man's hips. Her hands caressed his broad back and lean waist, as her body arched up to meet his driving thrusts. The pale beams of sunlight highlighted the blackness of the man's hair. His brown eyes appeared black and blazed with passion. Wild desire surged through her, as his iron hardness drove her beyond any restraint. Her body throbbed in ecstasy, welcoming the blissful burning ache which drove her beyond the knowledge there was a place within this man she couldn't reach. The part he wouldn't or couldn't release to any female.
Oh, God. Night. I'm almost there. Please.
Her body quivered as the orgasm struck. The afterglow left her quickly after he slid from her body, rolling away. They lay in uncomfortable silence for some time, neither willing to say the words that would shatter the mood. Slowly, his raspy breathing quieted, and he moved into a sitting position on the edge of the bed.
Night,
she whispered to gain his attention. Seconds passed before he answered with a voice as quiet as hers.
I have to go. I promised my father I'd be there with him and Sterling Murphy to complete the contracts.
He's going to become a partner whether you're there or here. Cannot one of your brothers be there instead?
She asked, caressing his back.
Of course, but he asked me to be there. Besides, you know I've been working with him and Sterling for 2 years on this deal,
he said, leaving little room for debate. So, he's buying the Montgomery plantation then? She asked haughtily.
Yes, he replied.
Knight could not understand why this should be any concern of hers. Her arms circled his waist, urged him closer. Gently but firmly, he gripped her hands, loosening their hold. Then he rose, walking to the nearby chair where he had thrown his clothing down earlier in his urgency to claim her. She sat back on her heels as she watched him dress. Christine thought back to the first time she'd ever seen Knight Chandler. It had been at a mutual friend's party, and she had wanted him at first sight. Though she'd seen him with other women before they became involved, Christine had noticed he only dated them for a short time before he moved on. It was though he left each woman before she got too close to him, as if striving to find something he hadn't yet, making every woman he met try to deliver it. Christine knew she had no real power over him, except with her body's supple curves and voluptuous shape. She was confident men found her charms intoxicating. She had golden hair and cornflower blue eyes, which provoked men's heads to turn. Christine wanted Knight to want only her. He had been very honest with her from the beginning and told her their relationship wouldn't last. She was sure she could change his mind. The considerable sum her parents had left to her in their will was dwindling, thanks to her expensive tastes and desires. Christine knew she would soon live in squalor without a proposal from Knight. The last thing she wanted to do was look for a job. There was no man quite like Knight Chandler. His intense brown eyes could burn with violent sensuality, making her weak inside. But they could easily turn as cold as a stone in winter. His black hair was on the long side and reached almost to his shoulders. His bangs were swept back, but had escaped to his forehead as he dressed. Watching him dress made her fingers itch to touch his sleek, muscled chest with its dusting of body hair. His muscled legs looked sexy in his tailored pants. When he had donned his shirt, he picked up his socks and shoes and paused at the door. Their eyes met, and Christine knew her awaited proposal wouldn't be coming this day either. He gave her that melting smile of his and left. Looking up at Christine's window, Knight sighed. When he had first met her, he'd thought her one of the most beautiful women he had ever seen. After a few months, he soon discovered the beauty on the outside didn't match what was on the inside. Christine had nothing deep to say unless it involved parties, gifts, money, hairstyles, or fashion. She was very good at making love and giving pleasure. But when he couldn't have an equally stimulating conversation afterward, even this had become tedious. Oh, he enjoyed their meetings, but he felt no fiery need for her. Instead of talking after they made love, which he usually enjoyed, all he wanted was to leave. Knight had always had difficulty keeping interested in any one female for long. He'd once thought this made him a fickle man. For as long as he could remember, the feeling he was missing something in his relationships had plagued him. He had yet to figure out what that something was. He knew Christine was looking for a deeper commitment than he was ready or prepared to give her. He also knew what her finances were. She needed money, and if his instincts were correct, like they usually were, it was his money she needed. He knew he would break off his relationship with Christine very soon. Denver, Colorado, March 11th, 1994, midnight. Surrounded by thick, swirling mist, she could feel the threat that hovered nearby. It tingled up her spine and lent wings to her feet as she ran. Low-hanging branches reached to brush her skin as thorns tore at her clothes. Sweat slicked her skin as her heart throbbed painfully, and each raspy breath she took made her lungs feel as if they were on fire. Hot tears filled her eyes, but she couldn't cry out. The panic and fear became greater, paralyzing her as the unknown, uncontrollable event gradually closed in on her. She couldn't help crying out in anguish and despair as she stumbled forward. She plunged over an embankment, tumbling to the hard ground and crying out in pain. Struggling, she finally climbed to her feet. Lifting her head, she saw a dark form hovering between her and the grayish sky. Suddenly, the swirling mist dissolved, and the dark evil confronted her. A blonde-haired man and a woman were pointing a gun at the ebony-colored-haired man. She couldn't see any faces clearly, but knew the dark-haired man was somehow connected to her. He was the reason behind her fear and panic, and she had to save him. Suddenly, the gun fired, but the results of its firing were unknown to her as her frightened cry jerked her awake. Sitting up in bed, Michaela Murphy knew the dream always ended the same. She never knew if the man was dead or alive. The dream had been the same since childhood. Rising from the bed, Michaela went to the bathroom, splashing her sweaty face with cold water. This failed to relieve the shaking, but it helped her get back some control the dream always stole from her. From experience, Michaela knew sleep would not be claimed again for the rest of the night. She got back into bed anyway, as she knew this pattern after years of having the dream. Michaela knew exhaustion would catch up with her during her trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and knew there was nothing she could do about it. It would be a new experience to be with her family again, and to see them as much as she wanted. They had been living in South Carolina for 2 years, trialing a partnership with the Chandler Shipping Company. Finally, her father was becoming an official partner. Convincing her she could do their company a world of good, her father had offered her a position. She had graduated with a business degree from the University of Colorado with honors, while her parents and sisters were in Charleston. The decision to accept was not a tough one. Plus, she knew he didn't enjoy her being so far away. Her father's offer came at a perfect time, as she had no longer enjoyed the place she'd been working. So now she would live and work with him and the Chandlers. Charleston International Airport, South Carolina, March 11th, 1994, 7:30 p.m. When she arrived in Charleston, the sun was setting and Michaela could see the first stars of the night. She had yet to pick up her baggage, and she was so tired her nerves throbbed. "God, it's hot and humid," she said to herself. Wiping her brow as she reached the baggage wheel, she quickly retrieved her baggage before placing it on a cart. She heard the intercom system call her, so she went to the customer service desk by the east entrance and followed the arrows leading the way. At the desk, she gave them her name. "Oh, yes, Miss Murphy, this is for you," the woman behind the desk said, handing her an envelope. "Thank you," Michaela said, taking the envelope. Walking away, she opened it and read, "Dearest Michaela, I am sorry I can't be there to pick you up, but a meeting has come up unexpectedly that's very important I don't miss. I have included a map to the plantation house. Your mother, sisters, and I are all looking forward to seeing you soon. Love, your father." Sighing, she refolded the letter and looked over the map included before putting them in her purse. This didn't surprise Michaela. She was one of five children and often left to her own devices. Grabbing the baggage cart, she wheeled it away in search of a place to rent a car. Spotting a baggage checker, she walked over to him. "Excuse me, sir. I was wondering if you could help me." The man turned to the melodious voice coming from behind him and wasn't prepared for the beauty standing before him. She had long ebony black hair that tumbled carelessly down her back. But it was the most uniquely colored eyes he'd ever seen that made him speechless.
"Of course, ma'am. What can I do for you?"
he said, finding his voice. She couldn't help noticing it had taken the man a while to answer. She assumed the heat was bothering him too. "Would you be so kind to direct me to the nearest car rental facility?" she asked.
"Well, ma'am, if you would just take this hallway to your right, you'll find quite a variety of car rentals," he said, pointing the way.
"Thank you very much," Michaela said, smiling, before turning in the right direction.
"Would you like some help with your baggage, ma'am?"
he asked. "I believe I have it under control, but thank you," she said, nodding to the man as she pulled the baggage cart behind her. Tipping his hat, he let out a heartfelt sigh. Almost as soon as she left the man behind, Michaela felt she was being watched. She quickly shook the feeling away, figuring she was in an airport, so naturally people would be watching each other. This didn't stop her from looking over her shoulder several times before arriving at the car rental facility.
"Hello, ma'am. How can I help you?"
the person at the desk asked. "I need to rent a car for a couple of days," she said, bringing the cart to a halt. Looking at her, the man couldn't help but stare.
Yes, of course. It will cost you more for just the 2 days. Are you sure you won't need it for a longer time?"
the man stuttered. "I understand, but I won't need it any longer than that, sir," she said, smiling.
"Well, let me just get you the papers. After you read and sign them, you can be on your way."
Thanking him again, Michaela picked up the pen lying on the counter, tapping it as she waited. The feeling of being watched she'd experienced earlier hit her again. Michaela shook it off again as her overactive imagination